Well, summertime, back out on the river. I tell you what, my favorite place to be. Let the triple digits come. That's all right. This is a cool water stream. Love to play in it. Try to be out here as much as I can during the summer, and especially out on the kayak and kayak fishing. So, on this river, you can catch a lot of different, you know, species of fish, a lot of different variety out here, but the fish that we mainly target when we come out here is smallmouth bass. Now, this stream right here is what they call a quality stream in the state that we live in. And it's just, I tell you, it is really a quality stream, just like the definition there. And it just has a lot of clear water, some deep holes. A lot of it's only about knee deep, but a lot of fish inhabit this river. So we're targeting smallmouth fish. So I thought I'd show you a few of the baits that I always use. So we're going to look here into the, don't carry a big tackle box, just a small one here, one that'll float in case I was to flip over in the kayak, but hopefully that's not going to happen today. Anyway, so as you can see in here, I've got a lot of tubes and a lot of different colors. And really, I don't know why I have that many colors here in the box, because predominantly I only use one color. So I'm going to show that to you here in a minute. So anytime you go fishing, whether it be a stream like this, a lake, a pond, you know, you're going to really probably go after a target fish. And if you're going to go after that one species of fish, you need to know what they normally eat. And in this river, they normally eat crawdads. That's what we call them in Arkansas. Crawdads. That's right. So crayfish. This river has a lot of crawdads in it. And so the smallmouth bass, that is their main food source in this river, besides a lot of the small shiners and all, but mainly crawdads. So you want to get something and you want to work that lure like it mimics a crawdad. But I'm going to show you some other lures. Now this one right here is a lot of fun. I don't use it a whole lot, but Hunter, our son, uses it quite a bit. Let me get it unhooked here. And it's called a whopper plopper. A whopper plopper. And it's a topwater lure. And so the reason why it's a lot of fun is you cast it out there, and as you're reeling it in, kind of medium to slow speed, it plops in the water, and you'll hear it. This tail spins around, and it plop, 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 plop. And so a lot of the, there's some largemouth bass in here too, but the smallmouth and even some little long-eared sunfish will come up and hit this thing, and you can catch them on a topwater. And so it's a lot of fun, but I don't use it a whole lot. But again, it's a lot of fun to use out here if you're just kind of messing around. And you will catch a lot of big fish on it. Now, another lure that we use a lot is called a Ned rig. And this one, of course, you can see it's a one-odd hook. It's got a jig head on it, a weighted jig head, and then a worm type. And you can see it's kind of a natural color to it. And so the way you'd work this, you'd throw it out there and you'd kind of bounce it off the bottom. And this one's been used. You can see it's been kind of eat up a little bit, but it's called a Ned rig. So again, you can use that. And then one other lure that we used to use, well, I don't use it as much anymore, but it will catch a lot of fish, is what they call a little rebel crawdad. You get the treble hooks down there. So this little rebel crawdad there, once you throw it down, and the way I would work that is I would tie this onto the end of my line, and then I would put a sinker about maybe not quite a foot up on the line, and because this will float, and so what that sinker does, it will pull it to the bottom and it'll suspend it from the bottom of the river a little bit. And so when you work it, it goes back and forth, and you can, but here's the thing, that is a lot of fun to some people, but you'll catch a lot of small fish on this right here, a lot of long-eared sunfish and other varieties, but you can catch a lot of largemouth bass. But now, the go-to bait, my bait that I really never switch from. I just wanted to show you a variety there. And like I said, there's a lot of people that'll throw a lot of different things, but is this tube right here. This tube, especially in this color, because it's kind of what I call a Christmas coffee, because it's kind of the color of a crawdad, and it's got red, green, and gold flake in it. And you don't have to have, this is a one-aught hook with a jig head. I'll show you the hook set up here. It's that right there. And then what I would do to tie this onto the line, I would take this tube and I would push the jig head up into the tube like so. push it in there, get it all, be careful of that sharp point on the hook, get it all pushed down through there, and then I would push the eye through the tube, just like that, and so your weight's inside the tube, and you tie it on right there. And that's all you need on the end of the line. So that's what I've got on here, and that is my go-to bait. This bait right here to a smallmouth bass is like fried chicken to a Baptist preacher. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you want your preacher to visit you quite a bit? Feed him fried chicken. And that's kind of like this tube is right here to a smallmouth bass. I'm telling you, they love it. So here's the deal. My son, he's all the time like, take this pole, take that pole. Use this, use the whopper plopper, use the Ned rig. Hey, this right here, I'll catch just as many smallmouth bass and largemouth bass and even long-eared sunfish, rock bass on this right here than anybody else throwing all these different kinds of lures. It's sitting a real long one. You know, they have some 3-inch tubes that are mainly for largemouth bass, but this one right here, I love to use in the river for smallmouth bass. And I'm gonna show you how I work it, okay? So let me put this stuff up. We'll go over here and I'm gonna show you how I work it in the river. All right, so most of the time we're fishing out of the kayak. We come to a pretty good hole, then we'll get out of the kayak. We might swim or something, but typically this is a pretty good hole for smallmouth bass. It kind of gets deeper over there and it's right off the edge of this running water and they kind of hole up because what the water's doing, it's flowing this way. That's the way the river's going. But when it comes down through here, and this is what you want to look for when you're fishing a creek or a small river like this right here, what you want to look for is you want to look for that water that's coming down and then it kind of swirls around and goes back around this way. And those fish will set up if there's a deeper hole out there and they'll try to catch that bait fish that's coming back around. And so we're going to cast over in there. And the way I normally work this is I'll cast it out. And when I cast it out, I'll let it set for just a second and I'll watch my line because a lot of times, especially these smallmouth bass, they're so aggressive. A lot of times what they'll do is they'll hit it right when it hits the water. And I can see them hit it with my line because my line will take off. And then I'll close the bail here on this open face reel and then I'll set the hook, all right? But I'll wait and see if that happens. If it doesn't happen, I'm gonna bump, 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 and then let it fall. Bump, 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 and I reel as I'm bumping the lure and letting it fall. I mean, because that's kind of imitates a crawdad, because if you ever put your finger down there to a crawdad in the water, you'll see him, he'll bump, bump backwards, and then he'll stop and fall. So that's what you're trying to mimic. So let's cast it out here and see if we can find a fish. And the whole time I'm watching my line. All right, let's try one more cast a little bit further into there. You see, I'm just bouncing it and reeling at the same time. Bounce, bounce, reel. Bounce, bounce, reel. Or bounce, reel, I guess that's what it would be. And then just seeing if something will catch it on the fall. Okay, we're gonna cast one more time because there may not be nothing in this hole. Oh, there he is. There he is. Oh my goodness. Holy cow. Hey, this is a pretty big one. Get the net, boys, get the net. Well, he's not that big, but you can see that, hey, he's a lot of fun. And he got off the hook for me, so that's even better, right? I didn't even have to take him off the hook. We're going.
I don't think it counts unless you reel it all the way in.
No, no, it counts. You saw it. It's on camera. I mean, if I really needed it, I would have got it all in there. Now, this right here, this is what I call the Merrill maneuver, all right? So I'm going to aim for right over there, and look at that. Oh, that's what I'm talking about. Actually, that's really the first time it's really worked out really well. So there we go. All right, well, we caught one out of this hole. Wasn't very big, 10 or 11 inches, but hey, that's a lot of fun. That's the thing about a smallmouth in these small creeks. 10 or 11 inch fish feels like a pound and a half, 2 pounds. So we're going to get back in the kayaks. Well, matter of fact, First, I want to show you how I fish some swift water. So let's walk back over here real quick. All right, so typically when I'm fishing a river like this, it's got swift water. Here's the key, especially when you're fishing with a lure like this, it's weighted. It's got an open hook on the end of it. You don't ever really want to cast upstream into this rough water. And the reason why is because you'll get hung up, because it's going to wash it down. But just like, again, you're trying to mimic a crawdad, if he's coming down through this swift water here, he's going to be bouncing along, right? And so what I'll do is I'll get to a point that I can fish straight across from me, or I can fish down and work the lure back up. So if I'm going to fish straight across from me, what I'm going to do is I'm going to cast out there, and then I'm going to bump it up a little, but then I'm going to let the water wash it a little bit. Maybe bump it up a little bit, and I might not do a lot of reeling until it gets past me pretty good, and then I'll reel it on in, because again, you're trying to mimic that crawdad coming down through there. But don't cast upstream. If you cast upstream, you're going to have to wade in there and get it unhung, because it's going to go under a rock or get hung on something. So I'll show you here. Toss it out there. Just kind of let it float, bounce it a little. Let it float, bounce it a little. Let it float. Of course, you're reeling in. You're reeling in when you're bouncing it a little. Then I'll reel it on back in, but you're just kind of working this swift water. I'm gonna go straight out in front of me there, and I'm gonna bounce it, reel in some slack, bounce it, reel in some slack, and there we go. I didn't figure we would catch nothing through here, because we just floated through here with the kayaks, but I wanted to show you, if you're fishing swift water, always fish downstream back to you, never upstream back to you, because again, you'll get hung up. So let's get in the kayaks, go see if we can find a deep hole. Let's go.
Maybe on this swift water?
I would thought there would be something in that shade.
Don't hook me.
Nothing there, folks. Nothing to see. Okay.
Get you a little limb brim up there. That's the Merrill maneuver.
Tell you where one's gonna be. One's gonna be right straight in front of me over there underneath that tree. Roots. Because there's a fairly good hole over there. So let's cast over there once we get past this rock. You got you a fish? You got a fish? Oh, only counts if it gets in the boat, you said. Uh-oh. No, we didn't. Did you?
I did.
Boy, that's a good one.
It's really not.
That's okay. Get up beside that rock and get it in. Oh, that's a good one. Caught my fish. You caught my fish.
He's going to pull me down these rocks.
Boy, that's good.
Hey, get the net, boys. Get the net.
Huh? You want me to get the net? You want me to get the net? Get the net, Wander. Get the net. That's a dandy. Look at that. Hey, that's a good fish. There you go. Pick him up like a real fisherman.
I am, but he's getting it.
Good fish. There you go.
I'm sorry.
Look at that.
Hey, do you need that?
Yeah, I hadn't caught one that big today. Put him down right there.
Do you want it?
No, go ahead and okay. Release him back into, there he goes. Good job. Oh, hey, there he is. Oh my goodness. Hey, that's a big one right there. 18, 19 inches at least. What? You gotta be kidding me. That's the fish that I thought was 18 or 19 inches. He fought much harder than that. He's not much bigger than the lure. Look at that. He might fit in a sardine can and touch both edges, but I don't know. Hey, that dude was a fighter. I thought we was going to have to get the net. Guess not, though. Not quite as big as what I thought it was.
Impressive.
I know, right? Go back in there, buddy. See if we can catch your daddy. I need to back up because that's a good spot right there. Out here on the river, we have a lot of fun reeling them in. And that little guy, well, I just knew he was going to be huge. But when I pulled it in, that little thing was nothing. You know what? It sure put up a fight, though. He definitely gave me a run for my money, as we say. But in the end, it ended up not even being worth the fight. Just tiny. Sometimes problems come up in life and they feel a lot like that fish. I mean, they feel huge. You know, you think it's going to be something so bad. And you're anxious, worried, you lose sleep at night. You complain about it and fret over it. And for what? You know, in the end, when we see it for what it really is, it's really not that big, and especially not that big for God. With man, it can feel impossible, but with God, anything is possible. So what should we do when we feel something tugging at our line? Something trying to pull us off course, and it just feels huge. You know what? The Bible says we shouldn't worry. In Matthew 6 and 34, it says, "Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." We should always take it to the Lord in prayer. Listen to what Paul says in Philippians 4, 6 through 7. "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And while we are praying, we should cast our burden on Jesus as well. Give your worries, fears, and troubles to the Lord. In 1 Peter 5, 6 through 7, it says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." You know what? The Lord goes before you. He already knows what's going to be dragging you around, what drags you down. Trust in him to work it out. And you just keep on fishing. And that's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to get back out here and see if I can't reel in that big one. I mean a really big one this time. Hey, check out more videos like these on lifeword.org or follow us on social media sites. I'm Sean Merrill, and I'll see you next time. Hopefully right back here, out here on the river. This is a big one here. Hey, get the net. Get the net. This is a big one. Hey, this is one of the biggest ones I ever caught right here. Look at that. Look at that fish. Now check that dude out. Now that is what I'm talking about. That right there is a smallmouth. Woo! Let's just see how big this dude is. I'm gonna put this paddle down in the water so it's not gonna go anywhere.